Good morning, Northwoods. Great to see everybody. Excited. It's Baptism Sunday, and we're going to celebrate with all those who take their next step in their journey with Jesus Christ. I still got one sleeve that's pretty soaking wet from 9 a.m., so I'm ready for 11 a.m. We're gonna start baptizing here in a little bit. Now, before we get going with where we're headed today, I do want to take just a moment, and I want to talk about next Sunday. So I want to invite everyone back next week as we kick off a series that I'm calling Hot Button. And in this series, we're going to tackle four burning questions that are not only seem to be trending in culture, but also ones that I find that are being asked in the church today. In fact, we did a series a few years ago, if you remember, it was called You Asked For It. And in that series, you submitted questions, and then we voted on those questions as a church, and then I preached on the ones that got the most votes. Well, both times we did that series, these four questions were ones that were sent in that we just didn't get quite to. So here's the four questions that'll be addressed. Number one, can I trust the Bible? Now, in 2026, I'll hear from people outside the church, even hear from some people inside the church. It's 2026, can I really stake my life on an ancient, thousands-year-old book? Second question we'll address, is marriage worth it? So with so many divorces, I was actually listening to a podcast the other day that was a secular podcast, and they were basically getting at the question, with so many divorces, maybe marriage is broken and we just shouldn't do it anymore. So we'll ask the question, is marriage worth it? Number three, what if I've been hurt by my church? So this will be the church hurt message. What do you do when the place that was supposed to be a part of your healing became the place that hurt you? And then number four, how should we think about AI? That'll be the artificial intelligence message. Is AI just, a harmless and helpful tool that we should be just fully embraced with open arms, or something else? Is it somewhere in the middle? What kind of impact will it have on the future? So we'll dive into all of that. So I'm looking forward to this series. I hope you are too. We're going to have Pastor Cal here next week. He's going to kick off the series, and I'd love to have you join us. So that's next week. Now, let's talk about where we're headed today. This is kind of getting into the message for today. So recently, I heard the story of four military recruiters who went to a high school to recruit students for the military. So the Army recruiter, he got up first. He laid out his nice PowerPoint with all the reasons you should join the Army. Said, hey, GI Bill, free college, it'll be great, join the Army. Next recruiter gets up, and it's the Navy recruiter, and she says, let me tell you why the Navy is better than the Army. She gets up, shares her PowerPoint. She talked about all the job skills and career advancement opportunities. And she said, hey, the Army, Navy, the football game every year. Just want to tell you, historically, if you look back over time, historically, Navy is the one who wins. So this is why you should join the Navy. Then the Air Force recruiter gets up and says, let me tell you why we're better than both the Army and the Navy. Showed his PowerPoint, shared all the reasons to join. Hey, learn to fly, work on planes, and robust retirement benefits. Last recruiter gets up. He's from the Marines. He walks up, no PowerPoint. He walks, puts his feet on the edge of the stage, and he takes a long, hard, kind of awkward look around the room. Be kind of like what I'm doing right now. Scans the room, make an eye contact. And he says, nope. I don't think any of you have what it takes to be in the Marines. Marines is the most difficult thing you'll ever do in your life. It'll challenge you mentally, physically, emotionally. I just don't see it in this room. But if you think I'm wrong, I'll be at the back of the room. Well, after those presentations, the story is told that there were a few students at each of the Army, Navy, and Air Force tables, and the line was wrapped around the room for the Marines. Now, when I tell that story, usually, the people who are in the Marines, they love it. And again, we're thankful for those Marines. But I want you to know, I don't tell that story to say that any branch is better than the other. I'm thankful for those who serve regardless of what branch you're in. We're thankful for what you do for our country. here's the question. What was the difference between the first three messages and the last? The first three were a sell. The last was a challenge. Now, I share it to say, I believe that just like in that story, there is something in all of us that wants to be challenged to live for a mission that is greater than ourselves. And so today on this Baptism Sunday, I'm going to lovingly challenge those of you listening today who have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ but have never been baptized as a profession of your faith. So I'm going to challenge you today, if you've never been baptized and have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, to take this important step and get baptized with the many others who will come forward and get baptized as well. Now, you might be asking the question like, oh, okay, you're challenging me to get baptized. Why would I do that, John? Like, you mean you want me to come up on stage, get in one of those tanks, and get soaking wet in front of everybody? Seems a little bit, you know, I don't know if I want to do that, kind of humiliating, you know, why would I do that? And that's a good question. So what I want to do just briefly this morning before we start baptizing is I want to challenge you to consider three reasons from God's word why you should be baptized. Okay, here's reason number one, to follow Jesus' instruction. To follow Jesus' instruction. Now we might ask, okay, well, what instruction? He gave a lot of instructions. Well, let's start with the one he gave in Matthew 28:19, which is often referred to as the Great Commission. So after Jesus' resurrection and before his ascension, he told his disciples this. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So here Jesus gives his followers, really, he gives them one main command. He says, hey, I want you to go and make disciples. That's the main command. Go and make disciples. Now, we don't often use the word disciple outside of church circles. So sometimes people go, you know, well, what does it mean to be a disciple? What is a disciple? Well, one author explained it this way. It's been really helpful to me. He defined a disciple as someone who orients their life around being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing as he did. So think of it this way. I have four children. The youngest is my two-year-old son, Luke. And you could say he's kind of like my disciple because he wants to be with me wherever I go. So like if I run an errand on Saturday, there'll be times where I'll say, hey, does anybody want to go? I'm going here, hardware store, wherever it might be. And other kids will be like, oh, we're going to stay home and play. And Luke will be like, I do. Luke will come running out. He wants to go along. He's my ride along. Why? Because he wants to be with me. He also wants to be like me. So I'll see him around the house at times. He'll be wearing my shoes around. If he sees me putting cologne on in the morning, he'll come in and say, hey, put some cologne on me. You know, he wants cologne on. There's been times where I'm walking outside, I'll spit, he'll be behind me and I'll hear him go, poof. Right? He wants to be like me. And he also wants to do as I do. Like one of the things that comes to mind is like when I do yard work, he loves to do yard work. So talk about mowing. When we do the lawn, we're going to mow, we're going to weed eat, and then we're going to come back with a blower. We're going to blow all the grass off the driveway and the sidewalks. Okay, he wants to do it all with me. And so this Christmas, one of the things that he asked for, toy mower, toy weed eater, and toy blower, right? He wants to do as I do. And he's like, can we go outside and mow the lawn? I'm like, dude, this isn't the time. There's snow on the grass. We're not going out there, okay? Doesn't need it right now. But you understand, in that sense, that's kind of a picture of a disciple. That's what it means to be a disciple. Okay, now that we know what a disciple is, the question becomes, how does Jesus tell us to make disciples? Well, he gives us three really clear instructions in this passage. He says, number one, I want you to go, meaning you can't be stagnant. You can't sit on your hands. It's going to require effort, action. Don't leave your faith on the sidelines of your life. Then he says, so go, and I want you to baptize those people, someone's going to become a disciple in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So go, baptize those who follow Christ, and then he says, teach them to obey. So teach them to obey my commands. Go, baptize, teach. Here's what I want you to recognize, okay? If making a disciple involves baptizing them, then it's inferred that if I consider myself a disciple of Jesus, then I should be baptized as well. This is his instruction for anyone who surrenders their life to him and trusts him to be their savior. So question, have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? That's the first question. If you say, yes, John, I've done that. That's great. I'm proud of you. That is the beginning of your faith. That's the anchor point of your faith is the day you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Now, here's the next question. Have you been baptized as a profession of your faith in Jesus Christ? If not, what are you waiting for? Don't let another day go by and not respond to Jesus' instruction. Now, before we move on to the next reason, we're going to pause and focus on the word that's used there for baptizing in the Greek. So throughout this message, a few times, we're going to answer a few of what I call emotionally charged questions. Okay, these are ECQs. And I call them that because they're questions that I often get around baptism that have a bit of emotion around them for people. So I want to stop and answer one here because it comes out of the passage that we're looking at. So here's the first ECQ, emotionally charged question we're going to look at. Dunk or sprinkle, does it matter? Dunk or sprinkle, does it matter? In other words, when a person is baptized, should they be dunked or immersed in water or just sprinkled with water? Okay, different churches do it different ways. Reminds me of the young boy who decided to baptize his cat one day. So he took his cat with him back to the bathroom, starts filling up the bathtub. And as the bathtub's filling up, you know how cats are around water, they don't like water. Some of that water got splashed or sprinkled on the cat. And so that cat starts wiggling out, going crazy and ran off. And as that cat's running down the hallway, that boy went after it and he said, fine, be a Methodist. Right? Now, we don't yell at people who do it different or do it other ways. But here at Northwoods, we do believe, it's our conviction based upon the Bible, the New Testament, that the New Testament mode of baptism is by immersion. Why? I'll give you a few reasons. First, because the word that's used here for baptizing, when he says baptizing them, is the Greek word baptizo, which means to dip in or under a liquid or to immerse. So for example, I'm gonna have our stage manager help me out here real quick. So for example, let's say you and I, let's say we're living in first century Israel and I invite you over for some Oreos and milk. Okay, now I understand they didn't have Oreos in that time, but just go with me. So let's say I give you an Oreo and I say to you in Greek, I want you to baptizo that Oreo, okay? If you heard that, you wouldn't have done this. You also wouldn't have done this, okay? If I said baptizo it, you would have either done this, you would have dumped the whole thing on top of it, or most likely, if I said baptizo, you would have done one of these right here. That a little bit more than I thought. I wanted to make sure you really understood. We're gonna dunk that thing, right? That's what it means. Now, I'd love to eat this, but I'm gonna give this back to you. Come on, we give it up for our stage manager. I can't see it. I still got milk on my face. Okay. I had to make sure you understood. We're really going in. We're gonna dip, immerse. Now, another reason. So we baptize by immersion because the New Testament word for baptism means to dunk. Okay. Another reason why we dunk or immerse is because baptism is meant to be a visible picture of identifying with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, so look at what Romans 6:4 says. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So when you go under the water today, when someone goes under the water, it's a picture of identifying with Jesus in his death and burial. And when you come up, it's a picture of being raised to new life in Christ. Okay? You don't get that picture through sprinkling. This is why we believe the biblical, the New Testament biblical mode of is baptism by immersion. Also, many times when you read about baptism in the New Testament, you'll hear words like they went down into the water or they came up out of the water. That all speaks to immersion. So that's why we have tanks on the stage. And when someone comes up today, we're going to baptize them. They're going to go back under the water and they're going to come out of the water. And that's the reason we do it that way. But back to the larger question at hand, why should I be baptized? It's to follow Jesus' instruction. Here's reason number two, to publicly declare your faith in Jesus. So I hinted at this a minute ago, but let's dive in just a little bit more in depth. Where do we find this? Well, if we look back to Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, it says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and then it says this phrase, in the name of. Now, what does it mean for something to be done in the name of? Let me kind of give you an everyday example. A few weeks back, my wife and I received a letter about a life insurance policy we had on one of our children that it turned into some other fund that we need to call to change it over. And so my wife called and she called to talk with them and they said, hey, actually this account is in the name of your husband. And so you have to have him call. So I was like, great. Now I get to call and work it out. So I called and I had to get it figured out. But we understand from that example, you understand this. If something is in someone's name, that means it's linked to them. So when Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, he's telling us that through baptism, we are publicly linking ourselves and declaring our allegiance to the Lord. For example, elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul touched on this when he wrote to address division that was happening in the church. In essence, people were identifying themselves with different leaders in the church. Some were saying, I follow Paul. Others were saying, no, I follow Peter. It'd be like if here today, some of you were saying, well, hey, you know, Pastor John, he's my guy. I follow him. And then some are saying, well, you know, Pastor Kurt did announce this. I like Pastor Kurt. Like, you know, he's really stylish and he never knocks on the Bears, doesn't make jokes about him. I like Pastor Kurt better. I follow him. Okay. It was that kind of thing going on. This was happening. And so Paul writes and he says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Paul's saying, hey, when you were baptized in someone's name, it links you and identifies you with them. So he's reminding them, hey, I wasn't crucified for you. You weren't baptized in my name. You were baptized in the name of the Lord, which means you were declaring your allegiance to him and what Jesus has accomplished for you through his life, death, and resurrection. Okay, another way to think about it is when you get baptized today, it's like putting on a Team Jesus jersey. Okay, so to illustrate, I brought my daughter's basketball jersey with me today, okay? I was gonna bring my Packers jersey, but I'm still in mourning, so I left that at home. Brought my daughter's basketball jersey, okay? Now I want you to think about a jersey. What does a jersey do? Well, when you put a jersey on, it visibly and publicly identifies you with the team. So when my daughter puts this on, There's no confusion about what team she's on. You don't think, oh, well, she plays for Team Metamora or Team Washington or Team East Peoria. Nope. When she puts it on, it's clear. She plays for Team Dunlap. Same thing is happening when you get baptized. When you get baptized, you are in essence putting the Team Jesus jersey on for all to see and saying, I'm on his team. I'm not a free agent anymore. Jesus is my savior. I play by his rules and I live out his values. Now, let's pause here for a moment. Make sure you understand what we're talking about here. Another ECQ, another emotionally charged question that comes up around this. Does baptism save you? Does baptism save you? Answer, no. So let's take the jersey analogy one step further. You don't put a jersey on to earn a spot on the team. You put a jersey on because the coach has already called your name and you're already on the team. So same thing here. Baptism is not how you get saved and become a part of the team. No, we are saved through placing our faith in Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished for us through his life, death, and resurrection, period. It's not the water that forgives you of your sin and washes your sins away. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Baptism is simply the outward declaration or the public and visible symbol of the inward decision that you've already made. So we don't get baptized to be saved. We get baptized because we are already saved. Now, some will say, well, if it doesn't save anyone, then why does it even matter? Well, it matters because Jesus instructed us to get baptized. And when Jesus got baptized, John the Baptist tried to stop him. And Jesus said, let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness. You want to fulfill all righteousness? Get baptized. Now, another question. If baptism is a public declaration of your faith, then that brings us to another emotionally charged question. This is one that probably has the most emotion around it when it gets asked. Here it is. Should babies be baptized? Like, what about infant baptism? You know, today there are many churches who practice infant baptism. The Catholic Church, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Methodist, Presbyterian, and others. And in a crowd of this size, there's some of you here that were baptized as babies. But if baptism is where we visibly and publicly declare our allegiance to Jesus Christ, then that means, you understand, it requires a conscious decision on our part. But when an infant is baptized, it's not their decision, it's their parents' decision. And nowhere in the New Testament do we see babies being baptized. The pattern of the New Testament is someone hears the message, believes the message, and is baptized. Hears, believes, baptized. For example, in the book of Acts, it says Peter stood up the day of Pentecost, preached the gospel. Look what it says. It says those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So think about it. Peter preaches, so they heard the good news. It says they accepted the message, meaning they believed the message. And then it says they were baptized. Heard, believed, baptized. Let me give another example. Philip went and preached the gospel in Samaria, and it says, but when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So understand, it says, he proclaimed the good news, so that's heard. They believed the message, that's believed, heard, believed, and then they were baptized. Heard, believed, baptized. So because of this, we practice, it's our conviction based on the Bible, that baptism is for believers. We call it believer's baptism, meaning we baptize those who are old enough to have made a conscious decision for Jesus Christ. Now, that can certainly vary based upon someone's understanding. Now, I'm saying the age can vary based upon someone's understanding. Now, if you were baptized as an infant, does that mean what your parents did was wrong? I want you to hear me very clearly. No. Doesn't mean what your parents did was wrong. Okay? I see what your parents did as dedicating you to the Lord and saying, we're going to raise our child in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I want you to understand, that's a really good thing. And we should thank parents who had that desire for us when we were infants. But since baptism is for believers, the question remains, have you taken the step of publicly declaring your faith? Keyword, your. Have you taken the step of publicly declaring your faith in Jesus through baptism? If not, why not make today the day where you respond to Jesus' instruction and publicly declare your faith through baptism? Let's talk about one last reason why we should be baptized. Reason number three, to commit to God's people. To commit to God's people. Just as you express your faith publicly through baptism, your baptism also signifies your commitment to the church or the Lord's people. We just looked at Acts 2:41, where it says, those who accepted Peter's message were baptized and 3,000 were added to their number. That's, or we can say added to the church. But then it goes on to say in 2:42, they, meaning those who heard, believed, and baptized, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then if you skip ahead to verse 44, it says all the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So to sum it up, after having heard, believed, and being baptized, they ate together. They shared their lives. They shared their possessions. We could say they were committed to one another. And it goes on to say that their commitment inspired those outside of the church. All I'm pointing out is that here, that those who were baptized not only identified with Jesus, but with his people, the church. So baptism, I want you to understand, was never a thing where, hey, I just go to church, get baptized, check a box, and then never have anything to do with the Lord's people from here on out. So come back with me to the jersey analogy again. When my daughter puts this jersey on, it doesn't just identify her with the team, Team Dunlap. It also identifies her with her teammates. It's her putting, when she puts that jersey on, it's saying, these are my people. We're in this together. Same thing. When you get baptized, you're identifying with Jesus, but you're also looking at everyone else in this room wearing the same spiritual jersey for Team Jesus and saying, God's people are my people and we're in this together. Yeah, you can clap for that. So, why should I be baptized? To follow Jesus' instruction, to publicly declare your faith in Jesus, and to commit to God's people. I started this morning by telling you the story of four different military recruiters and how there was a difference between their messages. Three were a pitch or a sell. One was a challenge. I want you to understand, I want you to be very clear. I'm not here this morning to pitch or sell you on being baptized. I'm here to offer a loving challenge that if you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and you've never been baptized as a profession of your faith, I'm lovingly challenging you to respond to what the Word of God says and step forward and get baptized. Just like that military recruiter stepped to the edge of the stage looking out across the room, I'm looking at you. And I'm saying, hey, if you've given your life to Jesus but never been baptized, don't wait another day. Make today the day. Everything is ready. The water's ready. We've taken care of everything. We have towels, Northwood shirt, shorts, what you need to get baptized. We're ready to celebrate with you. The only question is, that remains, is will you accept the challenge and step forward and get baptized? If you're ready to accept that challenge, in a few moments, I'm gonna call you forward. But before we get there, I wanna take a moment. As we've been talking about publicly professing your faith in Jesus Christ, I wanna speak to those of you listening today, hearing about baptism, but you're realizing you've never taken the initial step of placing your faith in Jesus Christ. You know what, maybe you're here and you have just presumed all your life that because you were baptized as an infant, that you're saved. But you can't look back on a time and remember, was there ever a time when I surrendered my life and made a decision for Jesus Christ? Understand, you're not saved by your parents' decision. You're saved when you make a decision for Jesus Christ. Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's righteous standard. And therefore, all of us are separated from God and deserving of death. But the good news of Jesus is that on the cross, my sin, your sin, past, present, future, was placed on him, and he paid the price for it. And I was in the car with my daughter the other day, and she said, "Dad, if I know that, you know, Jesus has forgiven me of my sin, given my life to him, but let's say I did like a really big sin someday in the future. Would I go to hell?" I said, "Well, you know, let's talk about that for a minute. I want you to understand, when Jesus paid the price for your sin on that cross, he forgave every sin you've committed in the past, every sin you committed today, and every sin you will ever commit in the future. It's been forgiven. Past, present, future. And 3 days later, he was raised to life and he lives today. And so if you will turn from your sin and place your faith in all that he accomplished for you through his life, his death, his resurrection, God will forgive you the penalty of your sin. He'll set you free from the power of sin over your life, give you a new beginning, empower you with his spirit. And someday, when this life here is over, you'll live forever with him. That's the good news. But if you've never made that commitment, never made that decision, and you're realizing today that you need to, this is where it all begins. It begins when we make that decision, when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. This is the anchor point of our faith. So, if you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, here's my question. Are you ready to do that? If you are, I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. So with every head bowed, every eye closed across this auditorium, I just want to give you some language to kind of express the cry of your heart to Jesus this morning. You just say, "Jesus Christ, I surrender my life to you. I admit that I'm a sinner in need of the forgiveness only you can offer. And so today, February 1st, 2026, I repent of my sin. I place my trust in you. And I choose to follow you from this day forward. I thank you that through your life, death, and resurrection, I am a new creation. And I possess the gift of eternal life. I ask now that as your Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in me, that you would fill me to overflowing with your precious Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." Friend, I want you to know, if that was the cry of your heart, you opened your heart to Jesus Christ today, I want you to know the Bible says all of heaven is rejoicing with you. And so are we. Come on, guys, let's give it up for those who give their life to Jesus Christ. So proud of you. Your life will never be the same from this moment forward. And listen, if you just gave your life to Jesus Christ, on your way out today, we have a gift for you. It's called a yes packet. You'll find them at tables with a big yes on them. All it is it's a booklet to help you get started in your relationship and your journey with Jesus Christ. Okay? You go out, grab one. No one's gonna stop you. No one's gonna detain you. you just grab one out on your way out as our gift to you, as just a way of indicating to us that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. But also, I want to challenge you to exercise that newfound faith and step out in obedience and get baptized. This is often the way it happened in the New Testament. Someone gave their life to Jesus and then boom, right then, they got baptized. Doesn't always happen that way today, because sometimes people get saved and years later get baptized. What a cool way that your story is: on the same day I gave my life to Jesus, I went and got baptized as a public profession of my faith. So at this time, I'm gonna invite everyone to stand, everyone in the room to stand. And if you're here and you are ready to be baptized, in a moment, I'm gonna call you forward and come, I'm gonna ask you to come forward right down here in front of this stage. Now, I know what you're thinking. Every time we do this, I've been in your shoes before. Someone says, come forward. You're like, oh my goodness, come forward in front of everybody. That's gonna be kind of awkward. Everyone's gonna be looking at me. Like, what's it gonna feel like if I'm like scooting out of my row? And everyone's like, oh, there they go. No, hold up. I understand that's normal to feel that way. Normal to have all those thoughts. But let me just help you real quick. Nobody here is thinking you're weird. Oh my gosh, look at that person. When they see you go down front, everyone in this room is actually thinking, let's go, praise God for what he's doing in that person's life. That's what's happening. So you don't have to worry about people thinking I'm weird. Oh my goodness. No. We're here and we're celebrating with you. So now, if you have pre-registered to be baptized, if you've just surrendered your life to Christ and now want to respond to Jesus' instruction to be baptized, or if you're already a believer but have never been baptized as a profession of your faith, on the count of three, I want you to step out of your row and I want you to come down front and we'll cheer you on as you do. One, your life will never be the same. Two, respond to Jesus' instruction. Three, step on out of your row and come on down front. Come on, church, let's give it up for those who are coming down front. We're proud of you, excited for you. Don't miss your moment. You come on down front. Amen. You come on down front. If you're in the balcony, just make your way down. Come on, don't miss your moment. Make today today. Today is the day. If you need help, you need someone to come with you, you grab the person next to you and just say, will you come stand with me? You come on down front. Amen. Amen. This is your moment. This is your day. You're publicly declaring your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Anyone else, you come. This is your time. You come. Amen. Amen. Those of you standing here down front, I want you to know, I'm so proud of you. We're so proud of you. But I want you to know, more importantly, your Father in heaven is proud of the decision you're making. You know, when Jesus was baptized, it says when he came up out of the water, that the Spirit descended and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased. I want you to hear the Father saying to you today, this is my daughter, this is my Son, in you I am well pleased. Now, before I release you to get changed, I wanna talk to you for just a moment. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if Jesus is your Lord, I want you to make it your confession this morning. You just say, Jesus is Lord. So let's say it together. Jesus is Lord. Okay, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved, I want you to say, I believe. Let's say it together. I believe. Now, before you go, I want to walk you through a prayer of renunciation. The Bible says that the moment we are saved, we are transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so I want you to pray this with me. Church, we can all pray this together. Let's just pray together. Say, in Jesus' name, I now renounce Satan, in all of his works, in all of his ways. I renounce every lie that I have ever believed. I renounce every evil act that I have ever entered into. I renounce his work in my life, and I surrender myself to Jesus Christ. So Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in each and every one of these people that have stepped forward. I thank you for what you're doing in their heart in this moment. And Lord, we know that there is always obedience that follows blessing and responding to you. And so Lord, I pray, there is blessing that follows obedience. And so Lord, I pray that you would pour your blessing out on each and every one of these people who have chosen to get baptized in response to what you have laid on their heart. I pray this would be a moment they always look back on and say, that is the day, February 1st, where I publicly and visibly declared the decision that I had made in my heart for Jesus Christ. And so I thank you for what you're doing in this moment in their hearts. I pray you would keep their hearts responsive to you, to whatever you lay on their heart from this day forward. I thank you for what's about to occur here today. And we give you all the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.